You know, we pray for humility, but there is no humility without humiliation. And you know what? Humility comes from humus, the ground, the dirt. So, I don't think this should be recorded. And our present meditation is on the charity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Today, on the Feast of the Holy Family, I thought it would be an appropriate time for speaking on this important subject. Of course, the virtue of charity in all of us and in Our Lady was first directed to God, which meant her divine Son. But our focus is not on Our Lady's charity towards God, and rather toward others. And I thought I would first read a fairly long paragraph from the devotion to Mary, which I found among your books here. Saint Louis de Montfort is speaking about the fundamental truths of this true devotion to Our Lady. And he says, we must choose among all the devotions to the Blessed Virgin Mary, the one that draws us most towards death to ourselves, inasmuch as it will be the best and the most sanctifying. We must not think that all that shines is gold, and all that takes sweet is honey, and all that is easy to do and is done by the greatest number is most satisfying. As there are secrets of nature by which natural operations are performed more easily in a short time and at little cost, so are there secrets in the order of grace by which supernatural operations, such as ridding ourselves of self-fitting ourselves with God and becoming perfect more easily. The practice which I'm about to disclose is one of those secrets of grace unknown to the greater number of Christians, known even to few of the devout, and practiced and relished by a lesser number still. But by way of beginning the explanation of this practice, then he tells us the most fundamental truth of our faith in a spiritual life is to die to ourselves. With that as a background, our focus, we said, is on Our Lady's practice of charity toward others. And I have 10 qualities of Our Lady's love of others. And I'll watch my time to cover all 10 and ask our Lord here in the Blessed Sacrament to enlighten me to share with you what we most need in life. On the last day, as we so well know, we shall be judged on our practice of charity toward others. Our Lady's charity, or love of others, was first of all chaste. She was the only mother in all past and in all future history who maintained her virginity while conceiving her divine Son. How we need to know that chastity is only as authentic in every state of life as it is a chastity founded on deep, selfless charity. Over the years, in counseling married people, how often I had to tell them, and both, what you need to save your marriage is to practice selfless charity towards one another. And that is why, when we speak of the first virtue of Our Lady that we should imitate, Our Lady's chastity, which means our deep, selfless, watch the adjective, spiritual love for others, in other words, we love with the will. Of course, there is and should be satisfaction in, say, in a community, living with people who smile, who are cheerful, who are, in so many ways, nice people. But I know what I am saying. Our love of others, beginning, and for you especially, the love of our fellow religious, is to love those with whom we live and whom we meet and deal with, loving them with our hearts, which means with our wills. The second quality of Our Lady's charity, it was practical. Our Lady loved everyone whom God put into her life and loved them not only internally, but loved them, well, to repeat the word, practically. A moment after the angel left Our Lady at the Annunciation, remember, he had told her that Elizabeth, her kinswoman, was now in her sixth month. That's all Mary had to hear. The angel left, so did Mary. Picked up whatever belongings she needed, and as we said, Luke tells us, and she ran. Needless to say, she was not up in years. And this is where we human beings, with a body and a soul, how to practice charity. Notice, practice charity by using our bodies. Shall I say, by using up our bodies, by exhausting our bodies. I'm not sure I've ever said this before. Over the years, only by the help of God's grace, dare I say it, have published millions of words. But that meant many, many nights, far into the morning, charity exhausts itself. Charity tires out the body. Quality number three of Mary's charity. Our Lady was thoughtful of the needs of others and the Holy Spirit made sure that Our Lady's thoughtfulness would become part of divine revelation. Remember the marriage feast at Cana. Jewish marriage celebrations used to, and some still do, last several days. We don't know whether the guests had been drinking too much or there wasn't a lot of wine. They ran out of wine. Our Lady just told her son, they're out of wine. And what the evangelist records sounds as though Jesus, I don't say rebuked his mother, but told her what was on his mind. She knew her son. God works miracles if we are thoughtful of the needs of others. And I am not coining words. There is one person that we spontaneously, dare I use the word, continually have in mind. I don't have to tell you who that person is. The secret of being thoughtful is being thoughtful of others. Fourth quality of Our Lady's charity. Mary's charity was silent. I've said this, I'm sure, more than once. I don't have to look at the name on the address of an envelope that I've just received. All I have to see is how thick the letter is. God bless you religious women. What a difference between loving someone and, well, pouring out words. Of course, Our Lady was always in conversation. And of all times, oh no, on Christmas morning, remember when the shepherds came to visit the Christ child. And not a single recorded word of Our Lady. Don't tell me she was not engaged in conversation. And silent charity does not mean, dear Lord, does not mean we do not talk, watch the preposition, with people. So many people, I've watched too many people in alleged conversation. They are talking, shall I say, at people, talking to people. Loving conversation is talking with people. Their heart is sharing heart. Their mind is sharing mind. Our Lady's practice of charity was prudent. She is not for nothing called Virgo Prudentissima, Virgin most prudent. In other words, Mary anticipated, that is the heart of prudence. You anticipate what will be, well, the results or the consequences of whatever you're going to do. Charity anticipates. Anticipates not only what I should do for someone, but how I should do it. And whether I should do something in the practice of charity now or later on. Whether I should do it myself or have someone else practice the act of charity, which someone obviously needs. Our Lady's prudence. In all the recorded words of Our Lady in the Gospel, she reveals her superb prudence. At the Annunciation, she believed the angel when he told her that she was chosen to be the Mother of the Most High. But as she knew from her tenderest years, Mary knew she had consecrated her chastity to God. So, in sheer prudence, she told the angel, "Thanks for the invitation. Will you please explain, I believe you, or please explain how this will take place?" And which have you know? The angel then told her about Elizabeth. And then, for example, at the finding of the temple, Our Lady, being very prudent, did not, could not, in any way blame her son for, well, being 3 days lost. She said nothing except, "Your father, blessed Father Joseph, and I have sought you sorrowing." Which occasioned Christ's telling his mother, remember, she needed to learn that I must be about my real father's business. And of course, I'm just 12 years old, but my Heavenly Father wants me to engage in my work of salvation already now. And if anybody needed instruction, it was the scribes, Sadducees, and Pharisees whom he was instructing at the age of 12. Our Lady was loving but prudent. We were making a retreat, and I thought I'd spend a little time our own need, beginning with the speaker, our own need, of course, to practice selfless charity, but to keep asking our Lord, Lord, I want to be loving, I want to be kind, but I beg you to make me prudent in my practice of charity. And the reason is because unless we are prudent, we may try to meet people's needs for which we personally are not prepared. Moreover, and most importantly, the practice of charity, and I dare say it, is knowing and recognizing what people need, but knowing how we are to meet those needs. Sixth quality of Our Lady's virtue of charity. Mary's charity was patient. On this subject, Our Lady's patient charity, we could have not just a nativity retreat. This, in many ways, is what our life here on earth is all about. As we've said so many times, the English word patient comes from the Latin verb pati, to suffer. Love suffers. Otherwise, it is spurious love. Love pays, and it pays in the measure, in the degree in which it loves. The price that Mary paid, first for the love of her divine Son, then out of love for Him, the patient love she practiced toward so many people who were causing her divine Son so much pain, as we know already from His infancy. Did Mary love, for example, the brutal Herod that wanted to kill the Christ child? Yes. Over the years, did she love those who dealt with Jesus as though He were just another human being? Yes. And during His public ministry, did Mary suffer at seeing, not just because He was her Son, but because her faith told her, this is the living God who became man to save a sinful world? Did she love those who opposed, oppressed, even hated her Son? She did. And whatever else I will share with you during the retreat, let's be clear. I'm speaking of the practice of charity toward the people whom God puts into our lives. And for you, living mainly 24 hours a day with the same persons, day after day, week after week. Let me be as clear as I can. We love our fellow religious only on the measure we don't just tolerate them or endure them. We love them, and, should I say it, and we love them the more they try our patience. Took me years to learn that. Number 7. Our Lady's practice of charity was prayerful. We are to practice charity towards others as Christ himself tells us, as the condition for our salvation. Not to say as a condition for our sanctification. Well, what is the best thing we can give anyone? What is it? What else but God's grace? And how do we obtain grace, either for ourselves or here for others? By praying. I wouldn't dare identify by name the people that I pray for every day by name. It's a fairly long list. And for the sake of convenience, I've alphabetized the list. I think I should say this. And among the people are those who have caused me the greatest suffering in my life. Mary's charity was prayerful. Because I repeat, no matter what charity we practice towards others, there is no substitute for obtaining God's grace for those whom we claim to love, and our prayer for others is the infallible source of the grace they need. 8th quality of Our Lady's charity. It was humble. We know we've said so often, our faith tells us, we must practice humility in order even to be saved. What I want to focus on here is that we are to be humble in our practice of charity. In helping others, in the thousand ways that people are in need, unless we follow the guidance of St. Louis de Montfort, what's the danger? The danger is that our charity towards others will, unless we have the grace to resist, make us feel, think, somehow superior to the one who so obviously needs our help. I sure hope I am clear. Oh, the faith it takes to practice humble charity, or to change the wording, loving humility. And the more people are in need, and the more they need what we can give them, the more we must, I know what I'm saying, resist the spontaneous temptation of our fallen human nature to somehow, well, the poor dear. That's the one who needs our help. I think we need to hear this. Every person in need is a grace from God for us. Hope my language will be intelligible. We need needy people. We need them. And between the two needs, the needs that others have, what we can do for them is secondary to the need we have for needy people to be in our lives. I sure hope I'm clear. And that is why, talk about mystery, that is why God will make sure there'll be needy people in our lives so that we may practice that indispensable virtue on which our very salvation depends. We need, I repeat, needy people. They are a great blessing in our lives. And the more we expend ourselves in meeting their needs, the more, and that's the next quality, the more grateful we should be. Ninth quality of Our Lady's charity. Her charity was grateful. Her Magnificat is a hymn of gratitude. But let's be clear. We are to be grateful. Grateful for the blessings that God has given to us, which we enjoy, and how spontaneously we want to sing one of the psalms of thanksgiving. But Our Lady was grateful not only because of the wonderful things that God gave her to enjoy. Can you just imagine? And I must say, we cannot. Just imagine the joy of Our Lady when she gave birth to her divine Son at Bethlehem. Our faith told her that child in her arms was her God. But, and this is where Mary is to be a model for a practice of grateful charity. Grateful not only for the things that spontaneously and naturally we want to thank God for giving us. But grateful, as she was, for the trials and sufferings that the same God who blessed her so phenomenally blessed her also with sufferings. She is not for nothing called the sorrowful mother. And as she was told, remember, by Simeon, already at her son's presentation in the temple, her heart would be pierced by a sword. How we need, and humanly speaking, how reluctant we are to thank God for the privilege, the painful privilege of joining with Him, our crucified Lord, as Mary stood on Calvary under the cross. As we've said how many times, spattered by the blood she gave to Jesus. She loved not just her son dying on the cross. She loved those who crucified her son. And as the saints tell us, it was Mary's love that gained the grace of conversion for the repentant thief who died next to Jesus on Calvary. Finally, Our Lady's charity was compassionate. As we know, Christ our Lord could not suffer by anything from within His own human nature. No way. Being the incarnate Son of God, He could not suffer from anything from within Himself, because He had, needless to say, a perfectly holy human nature. Yet, He worked a miracle. This is our faith. God worked the miracle of assuming a human nature that by its very, well, nature, could not suffer. A nature then joined in our sufferings by allowing His enemies, and Christ's worst enemies were not the soldiers that nailed Jesus to the cross. His worst enemies, as He foresaw over the centuries of world history would be the sinners. Except for whose sins, God would not have become man and suffered and died on Calvary. And I know the Holy Father well enough to say this. One reason for his deep devotion to the Blessed Virgin is because he wants us to learn from her how to love and love deeply, love dearly, but love compassionately. Most pictures you see of our Holy Father in the last couple of years are pictures of a man in pain. I can say this, he is suffering deeply because he loves so deeply in imitation of Our Lady. This presumes that we are aware of other people's suffering. And I repeat, and the deepest pain is not, believe me, is not in the body. It is in the soul. That we show our compassionate love. And above all, that our loving others who are suffering in their lives, we might unite ourselves, hear it, with a suffering mystical Christ in the world today. The physical Jesus Christ is now in heavenly glory. But the mystical Christ, which is first and mainly those belonging to the church, in the broadest sense, the human race, suffering that we, by our compassionate love for them and enduring, I mean this loving the pain gives us. I mean that from the depths of my soul. Because then we can join our Blessed Mother, who in heaven wants us to practice the kind of love she practiced during her stay on earth. Lord Jesus, we pray. We pray to your Mother. Mother most amiable, obtain for me from your divine Son something of your own selfless love of Jesus and generous love of others. Ask him to make me practice his constant charity towards everyone whom God puts into my life. Show me how to become more and more like you in seeing Jesus in everyone whose life I touch. My confident hope is to be with him and you in that heavenly family, which is my destiny for all eternity. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.